Hay is for horses.
Goblinoids are included.
C is for cookie.
That's good enough for me. Oh, cookie, cookie, cookie. Start with C.
I'm gonna hit something if I keep going backwards.
Absolutely am.
Wow.
C is for cookie.
It's good enough for the proletariat.
That's right. Cookie comrades.
Cookie comrades.
Cookies are food of the bourgeois.
Yeah, kobolds are small humanoids. Sweet.
Episode of Why Do We Watch This for 2017, where the three of us sit down, drink a cocktail, watch a bad movie, discuss what was bad, what was good, and what we would fix in this movie. I am Brendan Clairobix, because her name is Claire Drishler.
I am Lee, gay Republican Tallahanty.
And I'm Chris, I can do better Ravel.
As you may have guessed from our nicknames, for our first movie of 2017, we watched the 2004 Frank Oz remake of The Stepford Wives, starring Nicole Kidman, Matthew Broderick, Bette Midler, Christopher Walken, and Glenn Close. We will go through the drink first, as we do. I've got the recipe here on my phone.
What did we call it?
It was called a Sunday Afternoon Book Club.
Right.
It was water, honey, ginger root, chamomile tea, bourbon, and a lemon wheel for garnish. And it was different because we sort of like made the water separate. First in a pan with the ginger root and the honey, and then steeped
and
the tea bag. Yeah, and we threw in some lemon, and we steeped the tea bag in that water after the fact. And I'm not really like a tea person at all, but I really liked this, actually.
I loved it. People will be listening to this far after this point, but it is very cold right now in Boston. And this was the perfect thing, coming inside to this delicious cup of tea to sit down with. It was great.
I'm still getting over a cold, so I was very appreciative.
Yeah, this is actually something I would highly suggest people try and make. Like, even if you didn't throw the bourbon in, like, it would probably be a pretty good glass of tea, frankly, anyway.
Honestly, I was thinking that now. I'm just going to start, like, pre-infusing my water with, like, ginger and lemon.
Yeah, it was super easy, and I think it really made a difference.
It really did.
And, you know, if you're watching The Stepford Wives, having a shot of bourbon in your tea probably can't hurt.
And it also, honestly, just a nice warm drink put me in a much kinder headspace, I think.
So also per tradition, I think we will try and cover the plot of Stepford Wives. I think I'll go through, if you guys notice anything, jump out at me, I would say, but I'll try and get through this as quick as I can, because it's not super complicated, but it's a little, we'll start at the beginning.
All right.
So we open with, we see Nicole Kidman as Joanna. She is a TV executive. She's just launched a bunch of reality shows that are really ridiculous and I think are trying to portray men as sort of like inept, feeble people, and the women in their lives is very strong, powerful, and dare I say masculine.
Right.
We find out then that a husband from one of the shows she has done, whose wife later left him because of the show, has entered into the presentation she's doing and opens fire. She doesn't get hurt, but the studio fires her because he also shot some other people who were on the TV show apparently before he got there. So Joanna has a bit of a breakdown. Her husband Walter decides that them and their two children should leave the city and move to the town of Stepford, Connecticut, which is a very idealized, gated community. They are greeted by Glenn Close playing Claire, who is seems to be sort of like the head honcho woman of the town. She shows them their smart house. She shows Joanna how all the women gather together at the Stepford Day Spa to just sort of like discuss frivolous books.
I'm sorry, did you say Day Spa or Gay Spa? Because
but it's also, they don't do the book thing at the Day Spa. They do that at some other weird, like, pavilion. What they do at the Day Spa is the weird, like, house chores centric aerobics.
I mean, I assumed it was just a multi-use space.
Sure.
They do Clairobics, which are aerobics based on household exercises.
Like sweeping.
Like washing machines. Joanna finds this town to be very unsettling. All the women seem to be very much sort of in the mold of Claire. They're a very pretty woman in a 1950s sort of style. They love their husbands and they never speak ill of anything whatsoever. All the men are sort of like schlubby, unattractive geeks.
Yeah.
She finds one new person who has moved to town, Bobby Markowitz, who's played by Bette Midler, and her husband, John Lovitz. She's the only other person she's met so far who is not very Stepfordy. Also, who have just moved to the town, is the first gay couple in Stepford, Roger and his husband Jerry Roger, played by Roger Bart, who also joins
the... Rogers.
Yeah, a lot of Rogers.
And I learned through this movie that in many ways I am Roger Bart.
You are Roger Bart, except gay. The three of them, so they get along very well because they're very different from the other people. When they go to a square dance, they see a situation where one of the wives, Sarah, in the middle of her dance, starts twirling around manically, repeating do-si-do, and then all of a sudden just dramatically flops to the ground, and sparks, I believe they say, shoot out of her ears at one point. Mm-hmm. Which you would think, dear listener, would make you look at this woman and say something's drastically wrong with this situation, but not as such.
Weirdest of all, though, is the sparks come out when Christopher Walken walks onto the scene. He's introduced as Claire's husband, Mike, mm-hmm. who does something that you can't quite see to the head, but it almost looks like a neck snap, like he's a chiropractor. And then that's when the sparks kind of go... Zzz.
I mean, I think the problem is that Nicole Kidman does think something's...
Yeah.
Like, she does be like, wow, this is fucked up.
And but she
like,
wants to leave, kind
yeah,
of immediately.
But that just shouldn't happen in the first place.
Right, no, it shouldn't happen within the first, like, 20 minutes of the movie.
Yeah.
And then Matthew Broderick's like, oh, you'll never change. You'll never be the sort of wife who is. She's like, oh, I guess it's okay. Like, I guess I can put all that beside me and,
yeah.
like, become a Stepford wife. So she decides to try. She starts wearing pastels and making cupcakes and attending the book club and trying to be like the otherwise, basically.
Right.
The three of them sneak into Sarah's house to see how she's doing after this. They hear her having sex very loudly with her husband upstairs. Over the top, ridiculous. Roger finds a remote control on the floor labeled Sarah, and as he's playing with it, they don't see this happening, but we see Sarah walking down the stairs. She goes forward. As they push another button, she goes backwards. As they push another button, her breasts get bigger. Clearly, she's some sort of robo lady.
Can we stop for a second
yes.
and just clarify, because I don't know if we said this yet
yes.
in the summary, but that Roger is like, the woman part of
okay,
the
yes.
Oh,
yes.
And therefore
God.
He is with the two
okay,
women.
Yes.
I have things to say about it.
yes.
So they, meaning Roger, Bobby, and
yeah,
the
Joanna.
Wives.
Yes.
The
yeah,
wives.
The gals.
I mean.
Yes. While Roger's husband, who is more, shall we say, traditionally masculine, is off in the Stepford Men's Club with the other men doing manly things.
Yeah.
Like sitting around smoking, they just sit around an easy, leather easy chair smoking cigars and just being like, women, am I right?
What else would the fellows want to do in their free time? Meanwhile, speaking of the Stepford Men's Club, while they're there, we find out, and this is done very obviously, in which one of the men's wives walks up to him, takes his ATM card, puts it in her mouth, and shoots dollar bills out of her mouth, revealing to Matthew Broderick's character, Walter, that his wife is in fact a robot, and that this is something that they're doing to all their wives. Matthew Broderick takes this very well, I would say. He does not seem at all to be upset by this. He doesn't seem to have second thoughts. He seems very excited by the possibility.
After that, he comes home, and he's sort of in this weird kind of like happy malaise about it. John Lovitz and Bette Midler
Bobby.
Come over.
Yeah.
Sorry, Bobby. And what was John Lovitz's name?
John Lovitz.
We don't care.
Fuck John Lovitz.
They come over. John Lovitz is picking him up to go back to the men's club.
Right.
Bobby convinces...
Joanna.
Sorry, the names never stuck with me.
Bobby
to come with her to spy on the fact that Roger has been taken into the men's club for some reason, and Bobby wants to investigate.
Well, I think Bobby just wants to investigate. I think the fact that Roger's there is like a happy coincidence.
I
think
I thought
she
that
just,
was why.
No, I think,
no,
as
I think
they
I
leave.
Think,
she's just like, I want to see what they're doing there.
I think Roger's
okay.
there because he's technically a man, and therefore is like...
Yeah.
It gains access.
Yes.
Pretext that he's a man.
Yes, Roger transcends both worlds in this
yeah.
Stepford universe. So while the two women sneak in, Roger finds them there, and, you know, they're like, what's happening here, Roger? What's going on? He's like, oh, nothing. They're just sitting around smoking, sitting on, like, couches. Like, that's all they do. And they're like, okay, well, we're getting out of here. Call us later. After they leave, Roger's husband and the other men take him into a room where Roger sees something. Roger also, it must be noted, seems very okay with everything that's happening.
He's very,
like,
there are no alarm bells to be.
Well,
yeah.
He also seems to be playing along with it, like, oh, what's happening over
yeah.
here?
Yeah, he's like, oh, these men are up to something,
but,
probably,
yeah.
like,
but
robot
he,
cars or something.
Yeah.
But
like,
he never reads the room and is like, whoa, 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 whoa.
Yeah, yeah. Like, all these men, like, cornering him basically in a room. He's never like, this is not a situation why I should be in.
And then his husband stares him down in, like, this really intense way and is like, go open that door. And, like,
yeah.
I would be like, we need to talk first. Like, who are these guys? Can they please leave? Like,
yeah.
The next time that we see Roger, though, he is announcing his candidacy for state senate, I believe, as a
yes.
gay Republican with his husband, who is, you know, they both now look very sort of like, dare we say again, masculine, very sort of unassuming, professional, you know,
mm-hmm.
very conservatively dressed in suits.
As Joanna says later, he was in a Brooks Brothers suit.
Yes. This is raising some alarm bells, obviously, for Joanna and Bobby. Joanna wants to leave yet again. Walter convinces her yet again that no, you know, we shouldn't do this. And then he says, if you want to leave, then we'll both leave tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Which would lead you to believe that, like, maybe things will be okay. But Joanna wakes up that night, goes online to research some of the wives.
She first finds, though, the robo-dog.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God,
has
yeah.
Has the same kind
they
of...
have. Sorry, one second. I don't think we covered... The house comes complete with a robotic dog.
Yeah.
It's like that little... Who's that little, like... Remember that, like, fucking robot dog that was, like, a big deal for Christmas, like, 15 years ago?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like... Those. It's not. It's like a very goofy robot
dog. Well, it's like that, but even... It's, like, really shittily animated.
It's in, like, rubber skin or something, so it's just, it looks creepy anyhow.
Yeah. But it has the same remote that they found for Sarah much earlier in the movie, just with Joanna's name on it.
Right.
Which prompts her to then go on a little bit of a Google search. And she looks up Sarah and another Charmaine. Was that?
Yeah,
the
she
other
just
woman?
Starts googling the random women. She sees how they all like Sarah used to be like the head of an airline, mm-hmm. and Charmaine was
used to be
a judge. But and they were like, you know, while Sarah was still a very beautiful woman, Charmaine was also a beautiful woman, but she was glaring and she had her hair pulled back in a
severe.
Tight bun. Yes, and there was no makeup.
And they,
so ooh,
and they both kept their last names and hyphenated
yes.
them with their husbands' names.
She also incidentally finds out that there was a prize dog missing.
Yeah,
is there a robo dog?
And as Lee pointed out, because she was scanning the text, part of it goes, it's like the dog was magic.
Yeah. It was like it was some kind of magic dog,
yes.
as the quote in the newspaper.
It is. Oh, God. I can't tell you how much I fucking hated that moment. But anyhow.
So dumb.
So the next morning, again, she waits until the next morning. She goes to visit Bobby, and she sees Bobby has been Steffordized. She's very, like, she's dressed in a 50s housewife. She wants to clean all the time. And she, like, tells Joanna, like, oh, I can help you. I can make you better. I know what's wrong with you. And so Joanna runs away and tries to get her kids, but I guess the kids aren't at the day camp. They're not at her house. So she goes to the men's club. All the husbands are there, along with, you know, Walter and Mike. And Mike reveals what his Stepford plan is. So basically, what we understand from the informational video that Mike helpfully shows the audience is that these women have microchips added to their brains, but they might also be in robotic bodies. The movie is very unclear about this. We see robotic bodies, but they never explicitly state, we take their brains out and put them in robots.
That's something I really want to get into.
Yeah, it's very, like, again, this movie had a lot of reshoots done after the fact, and I think this is the biggest indication of the reshoots. The fact that the wives alternate between being robots and maybe, like, normal humans who have been enhanced in some sort of way with microchips. It's very, very confusing. Nicole Kidman is trying to appeal to Walter's, you know, like, love for her. The two of them go down into the basement of the men's society together to presumably have her be Stepfordized. The next scene that we see her in a supermarket. She's wearing, you know, a 1950s dress. She has long, beautiful blonde hair. She's very happy and vapid. Cut to them back at the Stepford Men's Association later on. They're having a party to welcome Walter and Joanna into, like, their new Stepford Society now that she's been Stepfordized.
Right.
While Joanna sort of, like, vapidly flirts with Christopher Walken, Walter sneaks down into the basement and starts mashing buttons on all the controls because I guess he knows that this will help the wives and won't, you know, kill them or something.
It makes the goofiest, like, bleep, 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 bleep,
yeah.
bleep, 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 bleep.
Yeah, no, it's like watching, like, CSI, someone, like, hack on CSI,
yeah.
which, like,
well,
blah, blah, blah,
then
blah, blah, blah,
it shows all of the brain, the chips in the brain, like,
dissolve.
Yeah, they, like, explode in their head or something.
Well,
like,
and then you see, it cuts away each time to show you the corresponding woman kind of, like, arches back.
Yeah,
and,
she,
like,
there's,
her arms,
like,
spread.
There's a light and, like, a whoosh noise.
Which
yeah.
Which really muddies the waters further about who's a robot and
right.
who's just an enhanced human.
Right. He does this to all the women. All the women are very angry. They're all, you know, like, how could you do this to us? Some of the women are still apparently super strong as one of them, like, breaks the remote with her bare hands with
yeah.
very little effort.
Kidman reveals that she and Walter kind of worked this thing out and that she's not really
in a matter of minutes in the basement in front of a robot body.
Yeah.
They had
yeah.
some really good therapy
Which,
real
by the
quick,
way,
guys.
How did he... I have questions.
Yeah.
We'll get there.
Anyhow, so she is not a robot. She has been pretending this whole time, and Mike is very mad at Walter for, you know, revealing their whole horrible scheme and ruining everything, so he's about to hit him with a candelabra, I think, and as he's going toward him, Nicole Kidman hits Mike over the head with a blunt object, and Mike's head goes flying off, revealing that he, in fact, was a robot. Claire runs over to him, reveals that she was never a robot in the first place. She was always an actual woman. And
she's sort of like a robotics, like,
yeah,
computer.
Well, robotics,
yeah.
but also
brain
surgery
genetics.
Or something.
Yeah.
She said she was a
yeah.
nurse.
Everything that you would need to make
yes.
someone
yeah.
a robot
yes.
cyborg person. That's
she happened to be
yes.
both a neurologist and a biochemist,
yeah,
as well as a roboticist.
Yes. Yeah. So what happened in her previous life before she like created this whole stepford thing is her husband, Mike, who we guess is Christopher Walken still, had an affair with her blonde research assistant. So she killed them both and then realized that like this is what she needs to do to make the world better. She needs to make all of the women, like, you know, back to a time in the 1950s where women were cherished and put on a pedestal and would never be cheated on by their husbands.
Yeah, because that's what the 50s was like.
Right. When they just loved women so much.
Yeah.
That was the problem.
They
just
loved,
they loved them too much.
This whenever you women wanted to vote and go to work and everything.
I also really need to get into that.
Yeah.
At all.
They never, because they just loved their women so much.
They never had mistresses.
No.
And then Glenn Close also reveals that later on her plan was also going to be to turn the men into robots too, but like,
yeah,
it's sort of a throwaway line.
Like, yeah, eventually.
Yeah, well, like, yeah, that's plan B later on, right?
Well, and it's so, that exchange was weird too, because I think it's Nicole Kidman says, but what about the men? She's like, later or soon,
like,
or not yet.
Well, she says like, that's
they're
plan
next.
B or something, yeah.
She says they're next,
yeah,
or something.
Yeah, so like, she was going to do it, but she still never did. Like, you,
yeah,
think you would get on that pretty quickly once,
yeah,
you turn the wives into robots, but I digress. She goes over, she picks up the decapitated robo head of her husband, kisses it, sparks fly out everywhere, and I guess she dies? Like,
she seems to
crawls,
be dead, yeah.
Yeah, she, like, holds his head close to her, and she presumably dies. We jump forward in time to Bobby, Roger, and Joanna on the Larry King show.
Mm-hmm.
They're talking about, like, their experiences in Stepford and how, like, Bobby's writing a new book.
So Joanna, the TV one, made a documentary.
Yeah.
Bobby wrote a book because she's a poet or whatever the fuck she is.
Yeah. Roger
Roger is in state,
yeah,
senate.
Ran for,
yeah,
office and is in the senate or something.
As an independent.
As an independent,
yes,
candidate.
And,
yes,
they kind of had, like, oh, next up, the White House.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A gay robot president, 2016.
Maybe.
So... They also reveal that Matthew Broderick is there at the studio with him and their kids, so, you know, everything worked out fine for those kids, guys. I know we were all worried that, like, they would not find a way to make it, but they did.
Larry King asks, like, what happened to everyone? They're like, oh, they're still there. They're under house arrest.
Yeah.
And we got a shot of John Lovitz and the rest of the Putzes puttering around the grocery store together.
Trying to find,
like,
where
items.
The toilet paper is.
Right.
Yeah, and then a woman, like, on the loudspeaker's like, stop talking.
Quit talking.
And credits.
Oh, boy.
Oof-a-ma-goof.
And that is The Stepford Wives 2004.
Real too quick about those,
yeah,
kids. Again, I'll
pointless.
Say it again.
Pointless.
Kids are neglected more than the kids in The Awakening.
Yes.
Like,
oh.
They get less attention paid to them.
And I do just need to point out, you bringing up The Awakening by Kate Chopin in relation to this movie is kind of perfect, because these are very,
like,
diametrically
like
opposed.
Successful exploration of feminism versus a really disastrous one.
Yes.
Okay, so the first discussion topic we had hit upon was a comparison to the original.
Long ago.
Yeah.
We hit on this topic.
Yes. It's not like we just did this right now.
Never.
And jot this down.
We would never do that.
We're too devoted
to
this.
Very organized.
I don't edit anything out of this, guys.
You guys, this is all live.
So, just to go through real quick, just for everyone's benefit,
oh,
has anyone here read the original book?
I have not.
No, I,
okay.
I don't know. As a, I guess we talked about the Webman episode, huh? But I don't really know any feminist authors.
Well,
or like,
yeah.
Like, I know The Awakening, and I'm proud to tout that knowledge, because I had to read it for school, but, like, I'm not particularly interested in Stepford Wives.
Well, it's written by a man.
Yeah, I know that.
I
don't
know that.
Like,
yeah.
It's certainly, like, an interesting, like,
yeah,
story, and my, like, I guess, like, at this point, I feel like that book is sort of dated as well, I guess.
It is, and it's, like, in a broad sense, that's not so much, but obviously,
yeah,
like, the nitty-gritty of, like, where it was in feminism in terms of the 70s,
right,
obviously it was, mm-hmm, a different situation.
And this movie was dated when it was made.
Yes.
Well, this movie was beyond dated when it came,
yeah,
in 2004.
So I didn't read the original book, but I did see the original movie adaptation.
Yeah, I have done both. I read the book in high school, and I've seen the movie. I own the movie. I think the original movie is a really neat movie.
Is it a faithful adaptation of
it
the
is
book?
Mostly faithful. There are some minor character things that,
okay,
they change, but for the most part, what you get in the movie is what's there in the
and
book.
Is it like a terrifying movie to watch? Like, is it,
I think,
creepy?
It's creepy.
Yes.
I would say it's creepy.
Is it like filmically very done well in terms of like the suspense and the...
I think it's a much better, because again, this movie does not... Okay, so like, just a quick comparison.
Yeah.
In this scene, the first scene where Nicole Kidman suspects something is wrong is when Faith Hill's character is spinning around saying, do-si-do, 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 do-si-do.
Right,
like,
right,
again,
right.
Very clearly something is wrong with this woman.
Yeah.
In the original movie, it's one of the the wives is walking around to, like, groups of men saying, like, I'll just die if I don't get this recipe. She just keeps going to other people and being, I'll just die if I don't get this recipe. Yeah. So, like, you realize something is wrong because she's just saying, like, the same vague platitudes over and over again. And, like, some guys come over and, like, take her, like, okay, come on, hon, like, let's get out of here. And then the next day, like, she goes to apologize to Joanna. She's like, I'm so sorry. Like, I had a drink and I've never had a drink before. Like, I just wanted to let you know, like, how embarrassed I was. It's, so, like, like, something's wrong, but, like, it's not, like, she thinks that basically, like, what's wrong is her husband made her go around and, like, apologize to everyone at the party for embarrassing him, which is good because it diverts her attention to, like, she thinks what's wrong here is it's a bunch of, like, old-fashioned fuddy-duddy men, not that there's something, like, wrong with this robo.
Right. Which I... It's... To compare the two is night and day. In the movie, the reveal, the way everything is unspooled and unfolds for both the main character and the viewer is so much more subtle and interesting, and it keeps you at least on the fence long enough to make it a powerful reveal when you finally get the confirmation.
Right.
In this movie, you're getting it minute 10.
Yeah.
Like, not even.
Yeah,
and it's if there that there is any doubt what's going on past that point is absurd. And as you guys pointed out, that moment happens so soon in this movie.
Yeah. I mean, so, like, here's the weird thing about doing, like, a Stepford Wives movie where, like, a remake, basically. I feel like people are, if they have not seen the movie or read the book, are familiar with the concept of a Stepford Wife in the sense of, like, a subservient, like, wife who is, like, a robot or, like, too perfect or something like that. So, like, clearly the idea is, like, when you go in to see the remake of the Stepford Wives, you already know going into this movie theater that these are robo-ladies.
And you have the general idea of what's up, because whether or not you have consumed either the two older pieces of media, it is very much within our pop culture idiosyncrasies.
Well, I mean, that's going to happen.
And I'm saying, what I'm saying is mostly is, like, that's fine for, like, the audiences to know that, and you can play to that, but the fact is the characters in the movie also seem to know this very quickly. Like, it's one thing for you, the audience, to watch
that's
this.
That's just a bad storytelling.
Yeah. Oh, that's terrible.
But the big difference, the other big, big difference here is that they're trying to do it as a dark comedy versus a
thriller.
A thriller. And also, because it's a dark comedy, they give it, like, a happy ending.
Right.
Because the original does not end with that.
No, it ends with her, with Joanna becoming a robot.
Yeah.
And which I actually, even though it's a sad ending, I applaud it because I think it has so much more balls in that one decision than this entire the movie we just watched.
I would be okay on paper with redoing Stepford Wives as a more comedic thing having it end with them taking down
the
operation.
I'm okay with that.
But it's just that it fails spectacularly in that respect.
Here's the thing. I love the original Stepford Wives movie. I thought it was a very effective horror movie. And I think on paper, if you're telling me we're taking this movie and we're going to go, like, pitch black dark comedy and we're going to give it a slightly happier, if maybe toothier ending, I'm cool with that. But we didn't get that.
Yeah.
So I think we're probably going to touch on this when I talk about what I would fix, maybe. But, I think my big problem with remaking this movie in 2002 or today, but back then also, is that, like, you have to reconsider what your Stepford Wife is.
Yeah.
Because, we're not in the 50s anymore. Things are pretty different now. And Glenn Close in the 2002 movie is like, I want things to be like the 50s. And I'm like, well, that's a bit stupid. Because, like, how can you have, like, however many PhDs you have and think that men didn't cheat on their wives in 1950?
Sure. I get all of that. With that context of her, she has, like, her education is far too high for her to have these misconceptions. However, I actually do think that you could still remake this movie now and still have the main villain want us to go back to the 50s. Because that's very much an alive viewpoint.
I think it would be is not so much a direct, like, trip to the 50s. It would be like, I love Leave It to Beaver. And June Cleaver was so happy wearing pearls and vacuuming.
Right.
Like, that's what I want for myself. I want to just, like, stay at home and, like, wear pearls and have my husband come home and kiss me and know that, like, nothing bad ever happens to me.
Yeah, but I mean, also, even in the movie, they halfway get there, but they don't fully do it. Because Glenn Close already has this world where, like, the women aren't necessarily doing the important shit, because, like, the mundane shit you don't want to be doing, because, like, the house does that. Like, the house does all of the, like, figuring out when you need stuff.
Yeah.
They've got Amazon Dash, basically.
Yeah. Right.
But yeah, like, it's a sort of better 50s, because, like, as a woman, what you get to do is, like, a fucking cooking class.
Right. You're home making a roast for, like, 3 hours.
Yeah, aerobics.
Yeah.
If I can just bounce off of that for a second. This movie is nothing but half measures, though. all the ideas they bring up, they only take at most halfway, and then they kind of stop. And that's actually something that really doesn't hold up well against the original movie, which took a handful of ideas and played them so boldly.
Well, half measure isn't supposed to be workout. You're not supposed to do half measures.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
That's a bad thing, yeah.
It makes it fall even flatter. Like, the scene that's in the original movie that is my absolute favorite is Joanna is defending herself against a female robot who she is kind of realizing in that moment is a malfunctioning robot. And the knife ends up getting lodged into the robot woman, but no blood comes out. And the knife is lodged kind of right around the uterine area on a woman. And so when Joanna says in horror, like, you don't bleed, it's not only a statement that it is frightening to see someone cut and no blood to come out, but that this woman, as a symbolic statement, has essentially given up her femininity in being domesticated. While that is a very dated feminist statement, that it's bold and there's something in it that you can still identify with, you don't get that in this movie at all. Like, there's so much, there's fangs in that first movie, but there's none of that here.
What do you mean they've given up their femininity? Because it seems like they gave up something that wasn't femininity to be hyper-feminine.
I guess what I'm saying is it's...
I've not seen the old movie, but...
Sacrificing...
Yeah.
I wouldn't call it femininity.
It's an interesting perspective, but I think I would go more with Lee.
Mm. Yeah.
I think I would. It's a neat reading, but yeah. I'm not sure if
do you see what I mean?
No,
it's that sacrificing something innate about being a woman to be domesticated.
I do. There's something else that I just honestly remembered about when they made the movie in the 70s. Again, I don't remember the book very well, so I don't remember how it describes the women in the book per mm-hmm. se. But when they were initially doing the movie in the 70s, they were first going to have the women be all sort of like Playboy Bunny type women. Like, they were going to be, like, hyper-sexualized because as less of, like, a domesticity. And then, like, at one point, one of the actresses they cast was, like, an older woman. Like, not, like, old, but, like, 40s, mm-hmm. I think. And so they realized, like, well, it's probably, like, it's not great to, like, necessarily have her be, like, a Playboy bunny when she's in her 40s, sort of. Like, it's just because it's not this ideal of, like, what this is. So they decide to make them all be sort of, like, 50s housewives instead.
Interesting.
So I don't know if the original intent of the novel was for the women to be, like, sex pots or if it was to be, like, this sort of, like, idea of, like, you know, a household woman who is always there for you with a drink whenever you get home.
But that's, well, I mean, that's why you cheat, right? Because
right.
you have the household woman and you want the sex pot
right,
to
exactly.
have sex with, and it's not as exciting if they're the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's the thing. I don't
Yeah.
And I guess if your wife is a robot, she's not going to care.
But yeah.
That makes it not exciting again.
Right.
I'm lost.
No, is your argument basically just that this is unfulfilling for a husband? Because I'd agree with you.
I'm lost.
Yeah. You know what, that's a shocking perspective.
Yeah.
I agree, this movie we just watched attempts to have it both ways, where it both wants the homemaker, but... multiple people comment upon the sexy nature of these women. They're called, what was it, perfect sex bunnies at one point, or sex kittens. That's what Bette Midler calls mm-hmm. one of them. And then the whole scene with, like, the tits inflating mm-hmm. and, ugh.
Well, they do both, right? Because the
right.
tits go up and down.
Right. Yeah.
It's like
depending on what you want. Do you want her wife's breast to be perkier?
Yeah.
Okay, we can do that.
Okay, they can be more pendulous.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you can dress up nicely for Sunday church, and then
yeah.
you can also have
like, go home
massive
and go nuts.
10-minute-long orgasms.
Yeah.
I actually kind of like that scene where they hear her having that completely cartoonish orgasm, because I just thought, of course the man that wants a robot wife is going to want her to, like, way overreact to every sexual gesture he ever gives to her, because that's so much more gratifying to him. And I guess if she's a robot lady, she's not faking it. She can't, really.
Or everything is faking, technically.
But if everything is fake, is anything?
What? What? Yeah. So there are problems with this movie's concepts of feminism also in 2004.
Yeah, okay.
Oh.
Let's talk about the first 10 minutes.
Please.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Please.
Awful.
Yeah.
So I've never seen this I was watching it for the first time. I'd never seen this or the original. I've never read the book. And like the first 10 minutes, I think I just looked up right and I was like, this movie has terrible attitudes about women already.
Yes.
Like, it's just this, like, Nicole Kidman in, like, a sort of, like...
Mannish
literal
suit.
Feminazi outfit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Of, like, just high-collared, like,
buttoned
military...
Buttoned up, black...
Yeah. And, like, plastered hair.
Yeah, short haircuts, like, combed to the side. Yeah.
Yeah. And she's showcasing the TV shows that she did. One of them just seems to be a game show where a woman just says that she does all these things that men are supposed to be doing and
yeah.
she does them better than the man.
Oh. Right, where it's a man and a woman sitting in a chair and Meredith Vieira, the host, is saying
yeah.
things like, who earns the most money? And the woman hits the button and says, I do. She's like, you know, like, who's a better runner? And the woman hits the button and says, I am.
Like, I could do an hour on that. I have so many questions.
Yeah.
What's the game?
What happens if the guy rings in first and says she does?
Is his job supposed to say that he does it, or is his job to say that his wife does it? Like, what is the goal of this game?
I also wondered, like, does it somehow warp reality? Like, if he says, it's me, suddenly it becomes true?
Are they creating the reality? And she's just like on the ball with it.
I was like, did we not know the real story here is that her TV network was creating actual reality? Okay, the first 10 minutes drove me insane because, yes, total feminazi angle, but also all of the shows that they're showcasing, which are within the universe of the movie, completely tied to her. She is held completely responsible for all of this programming.
Yeah, not like a team of people, producers or writers.
But she shoulders the blame for all of this.
Here's what really pisses me off. I understand that maybe the movie's eventual intention is to show how fucked up this attitude is. I get that, and I appreciate it in some way. But the fact that we start off outside of Stepford, where it is true that men are supposed to be, like, losers who have these hot, amazing wives or whatever.
No, I mean... Well,
but outside of Stepford, we have men who are ruthlessly victimized by the women in their life.
That's what I'm saying. There's no middle ground in this movie. And I was saying that later on, too, at different parts of the movie, where, like, there's... Like, when Bette Midler shows up and John Lovitz is like, hey, did you help the sandwich? She's like, no. And she's like, do you know where the kids are? She's like, no. It's like, where's this? Didn't marriage... Isn't it supposed to be a partnership?
Yes, well, and here's what makes me mad is I feel like it wants to say that Stepford is creating a separate world, but that moment showed me that it's not that much of a separate world because it to me that was the movie acknowledging, oh, there is a problem with women being better than men outside of Stepford that needs to be corrected inside of Stepford.
Right, I think
that pissed me off so much.
In the first 10 minutes, the movie seems to indicate that, like, powerful women are the problem, and these poor put-upon men, like, are doing bad things because the women are just, like, they're so masculine. Like,
and there is such a through line.
You could have done something with this if you didn't assert that this was the whole reality. But, like, because I don't like Joanna. I don't like Bobby. I think they're terrible people. Mm. But, like, I don't think that necessarily, like, I think the movie maybe puts you in this weird reality where women are the dominant species now, like, because that seems to be what the first 10 minutes indicates. However, I think what you have in this movie is characters like Joanna and Bobby, and then characters like John Lovitz, I forget his name, and her Walter. And Joanna's husband, and all the men in Stepford, which are like, men should be dominant, no woman should be dominant.
Yeah.
It's like, you're both terrible.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't vote for either of you.
Well, and it just struck me that it would have made everything that happens inside the Stepford world so much more interesting if outside of it we got the remarkable idea that there is more of a partnership happening, but that's still upsetting to men. Do you know what I mean?
If the movie was portraying men and women as equals in the beginning, and there were still men being like, what the fuck is this
shit? Exactly.
Like,
But to me, the first 10 minutes validates everything the movie wants to say is wrong in Stepford.
See, right.
And
saying,
there's such a problem that we're addressing here.
Yeah.
To me, that what you're saying is more close to the reality of 2002, but that's still like, why remake Stepford Wives? Because it's a different issue. Like, I think they didn't go deep enough.
No.
They remake Stepford Wives with the same premise of, like, we make things like the 50s.
Right.
Whereas, like, we have different gender and sexual identity issues than in 2002 that we had in the 50s. Like, it's time to update the concept of this whole thing.
Yeah.
But I'm also saying that if you have two opposing ideologies here, and it's that, that one is feminism, the other one is misogyny, which I think if you wanted to put it in the broadest of broad strokes, this movie is sort of driving in the direction of. And the movie, I truly believe, was intending to impart at least somewhat of a feminist message at the end in saying that women should not be treated this way, which is very true. But it's just they seem to acknowledge at the beginning, oh no, it is a problem that women have this kind of power and that it emasculates men. And I think that it undermines its own message, and I think it's a fucked up thing to say in the beginning.
No, it's a terrible beginning.
Yeah, I think if this beginning were different, it might make the movie stand a little bit better. Like, it would not fix every problem with the movie.
The movie as is.
Yeah.
I would want to share, like, so I think the whole message of the movie is backwards.
It's problematic and it's ill-conceived, I think.
It's reductive.
Yeah.
Everything about this movie is reductive.
Can we talk about the next big problematic thing in this?
Which one do you want to talk to about specifically?
A certain Roger.
Oh, yes, the Stepford gaze.
I'm sorry. You mean my best future self? If Joan Cusack is if Joan Cusack is Lee's best future self, my future self is gay Roger Bart. Whatever gay role you want to find him in, that's where I'm going. And
I'm still trying to find my best future self.
You know, but it's all going in order. You're next.
I guess. Yeah, whenever we watch the next movie, we'll figure out who I am. I Chris Evans?
Oh,
that's the dream. Anyhow,
yeah,
I digress.
And wait, the dream is being straight Chris Evans? That's fucked up, Brendan. No, but
my fantasies.
But it's true that, I mean, you guys completely called it out. There's the end. Where Roger, when he's back to being Roger, sees Glenn Close freaking out. He just goes, "Oh, she's fabulous!" And you guys both looked at me. They just said, "Like that's you." And I'm like, "It is. It is me. I love a ridiculous woman in a ridiculous outfit being insane. I love it. I love it. I don't have a problem with that."
You're gonna go to Stepford, and you'll be so happy there.
You know, I can't wait to.
But yeah,
I can't wait to dress like literal garbage and then be neutered into a gay Republican.
So the Stepford gays.
I want to know, we never get to hear it, but I want the conversation where they decide, like, which of us is going to go to the women's club.
Right.
And which of us is going to go to
there,
the men's
yes,
club.
This movie starts off with a very clear gender roles for these two men. Like, one is clearly the man, and one is clearly the woman. Like, the one who dresses flamboyantly and is, like, you know, more quote-unquote feminine is clearly the woman in this movie. Like, he hangs out with the two female characters, and the other one who dresses very conservatively and seems embarrassed by his husband is the one who's at the men's club.
All I needed, just to make it a little bit better, would for there to be a line addressing that. But there's not. It's just played to the audience as well, of course.
Yeah, it would be one thing if, like, Roger went to the men's club, like, his first day there and was like, this is boring, and then, like, just leaves.
Or they all treat him like an outsider and essentially get him to leave. That's what I would have wanted, or if I make minor changes.
Roger I know and love would have found it boring.
I feel like that's the thing, too. Like, Roger would have shown up and been like, this is ridiculous. I'm going to go hang with Nicole Kidman.
Of course. Except Nicole Kidman is boring in her own
way. I mean, yeah. Like, she's just like, it's the lesser of two evils.
Sure.
Like,
no, Roger, by the way, shines such a benevolent light on Joanna and Bobby as characters.
Well, and Lee pointed out, and she's so right, that they're more interesting, they're more enjoyable and fun and warm as people when Roger is there. Roger... God, I mean, it's everything I want to be, really, except for the clothes.
and the frosted tips.
And the frosted tips. Ugh.
2004.
It was a hell of a time. Hell of a drug. But
it
was just so fucked up to me that it was just played as this natural thing. And I'm like, I mean, I guess that's also sort of lost in this idea of a partnership. But I feel like the movie thought it was saying one thing and it ended up saying something very different when it came to that couple.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's the thing. Like, you could have naturally had these two characters be like, yeah, I'm going to go hang out here, and I'm going to go hang out here, because they talk about Christmas decorations, and that's what I'm into. But instead, it's like, no, naturally, this feminine gay guy is the woman of the
relationship.
Right, and that's why his husband's so ashamed of him, because, like, he is the female one.
It's so problematic. And
the concept of adding gays, like, to this movie in general sort of feels, like, very half-baked. Like, it feels like they were doing, like, okay, we're doing a modern take on Stepford Wives, so, like, what should we be doing? And then, like, it's like, oh, obviously there'll be a gay couple.
Yeah, and what it does with the gay couple is very strange, because it's sort of the opposite effect that they do to the woman, where they Steffordize this, like, a femme gay character, Roger, into, like, someone who then is, like, a gay Republican who's gonna run for office, and not the male husband who should be the dominant person.
Right.
See, that actually, okay, that dynamic, yes, but the idea of a gay in Stepford is visibly de-gayed, essentially. I mean, he gets all of his mannerisms taken away that would be considered the gay mannerisms.
Yeah.
That I actually did find had a little bit of punch to it, because I was like, yes,
but
of
that's
course.
That's not bad. Like, that's fine, but, like, it's weird to me that the husband who wanted Roger to be Stepfordized was like,
oh, I see. It's
like
a second banana now.
Yeah.
What I want is someone who will, I can be the
take
trophy
charge.
Wife.
Yeah. 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 He wants to be a politician's wife to his husband, basically, is what it is.
And
like, he doesn't, like, we were watching this, we were saying, like, it would make more sense if, like, Roger's husband, Jerry, was like, I want to run for political office as a gay Republican, but my husband is so effeminate. Like, they will never vote for him. And so then he was like, you know, but if my husband were more masculine, this might be okay.
Because does Roger even say that he's interested in politics?
No.
No.
Like,
no.
Not even
no. ever. You don't get this at all from him. He's interested in Christmas. That's all we know.
Well,
Christmas, he does Viggo Mortensen.
The only, like, eighth of a nod we get in that direction is that he says the words gay Republican once in a joke, and that's it.
Yeah.
It's just such a bummer, though, because I think if you're telling me, okay, we're doing this stuff for Wives, we're going to do a gay couple, that's such an interesting lens to put on it, especially for a movie that's so about gender roles and what it means about how you're living your life and what you do day to day. That's so interesting, and it could have been so interesting, but it's not. It's limp, like the rest of this movie.
Other thing that sort of hit to me, and this isn't something I'm sold on, and it's not like, you know, something I'm 100% agreeing with, but, like, I'm just still not really sure how I feel that Glenn Close's character would feel about having gay people. Your point, like, you guys had both made the point that, like, you feel like she would want them to both be very sort of, like, aggressively heterosexual in their mannerisms.
Did I say that?
But my thought was also that, like, in theory, like, because she is taking this, like, Leave It to Beaver trip back to the 50s, like, wouldn't she also possibly want him to be, like, a confirmed bachelor, Paul Lynn type, who, like, lives in his own house?
Maybe.
I don't know. I don't agree with that, because I feel like that's just some sort of weird, like, putting the pegs in the right holes type of thing.
Yeah.
Like, this is my vision of the fit. It seems very, like, by the numbers, which I think is a weird approach for Glenn Close to take.
For someone who should be very intelligent.
Yeah, well, I don't particularly think that Glenn Close cares about gay people. I think she just wants her perfect world, and I think that she doesn't particularly care, like, how things go down. I think she just wants everyone to get what they, like, what they're, you know, I don't know.
With the more, like, masculine partner wants.
Yeah, I don't think that she really thought about gay people. I think she's pretty self-centered in her vision of the world.
That's probably true.
I don't know that she really had too much thought about, like, what should I do with the gay guy?
Neither did the movie.
Because,
I mean, you have two men, and then that does bring up inherent questions about gender roles within this context, and to mine that would have been so rich.
That's what's weird to me. I feel like Glenn Close didn't really
think about
gay people.
Yeah.
And then maybe the gay guy was like, I want to move to Suffolk and do something with my gay husband. And she was like, well, fuck.
I could really see be like, oh.
I don't want to seem homophobic,
yeah.
So I better let it
happen. Yeah, like, I'm not homophobic, but I also don't know what to do.
So she rushed to the basement of the men's club to make a special man Staffordizer.
Yeah.
And
like, oh, we've had it the whole time.
Right. We were going to use it anyway, right?
Yeah.
I appreciate that there is a gay couple in this version of the Stepford Wives. It's just handled so terribly.
So,
like,
terribly.
Yeah.
The point where I would have rather them just not at all. Not even.
That's the thing, too, because I've been going through in my head whether or not this would be, like, this movie should just not have had a gay character at all, and, like, I agree with you 100% that, like, Roger is a good enough character that, like, I like him being there, but, like, it just, like, the gay couple in Stepford just creates so many issues with, like, how do we, like, interpret this world, that it's too much to think about, almost.
And honestly, if they were going to do it that shitty, I don't want them to do it at all.
He was, like, one of the best parts of the movie for me, like, stereotypes aside of, like, this was kind of how you played a gay character in 2000, whatever this movie was.
He was still enjoyable. He still gave the character humanity and personality, which a lot of other...
vibrant.
With a lot of other people in the movie.
He shined bright. He shined briefly, but brightly.
Well, that's sort of the weird thing is that so many people in this movie, whether or not they're Steffordized robot people or not, are
all
very robotic.
Yeah.
And not interesting, and very one-note and flat.
Right.
And I think that's why we all kind of gravitate to Roger as a character, because he has humanity to him. He's not a spineless sea slug person like any of the husbands.
Mm-hmm.
He's not a weird uptight woman or like a slovenly pig like Bobby or Joanna. He's not one of the weird bimbo women. And so he just kind of maybe seems the closest to a person you would actually meet
and
in
life. He's the only person who's like an audience surrogate for like the Joanna and Bobby being absurd people.
Yeah.
Right.
They go into Bobby's house, which is like a fucking pigsty, and he's like, are you growing anthrax in here?
That was a solid line. They gave him solid lines.
Yeah.
There are like whole issues with like, because I'm still not really clear how the movie, I think it is my honest to God thought going into this that I believe the movie wants you to view Bobby as a sympathetic character in the sense of like, she's like, she's kind of slovenly, but like, she reminds you of like a fun woman you might know in real life. But I think she comes off as a really horrible, like when we first see her, she runs up to a group of men and she's like, isn't it problematic that this is the 4th of July and there are no black people, no Native Americans, like blah, 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 blah. And so like,
she's right.
Yeah, no, she is. But she comes off immediately as just this sort of like, the sort of like white person who would insert themselves into the situation and be like, I can't believe you're not thinking more about minorities while being like a white person.
Right.
But and characters like that have been portrayed both sympathetically and unsympathetically.
It's true. And I think that this movie wants you to look on that and be like, wow, like this brassy woman has a point. There are none. But I like I look at her and being like, I would fucking like be sick of this woman.
No, but I'm saying like even sort of like insufferable white people who are advocates for everything can be done that way and seen as insufferable white people that are complaining about race, but also be sympathetic because they're shown to be empathetic and trying. They just are not doing it the right way.
Right.
Do you think,
and
right,
I wondered
it's
this.
Not that deep with Bobby.
No, it's not.
Do you think they turned her character up to 11, which they really kind of do in a lot of ways, so that the transformation into a Stepford wife is even more shocking? I mean, it's inevitable, so it's really not that shocking, but is it... is it supposed to, like, really punch up the contrast there?
I'm sure. Like, just to, like, add... yeah, just add that contrast.
Because, I mean, both she and Joanna... or, no, and Roger, I guess. All three of them are brunettes. Although Roger doesn't get blonded like the women.
Well,
all the women go blonde.
You know, he doesn't need to... Again, what rules apply to Roger?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's also weird.
Yeah, neither did Glenn Close.
There are no
just
rules
sort of like,
for Roger.
I'm flying by the seat of my A-line skirt right now.
It's
this
also
is
weird that like he's the first person to be Steffordized of the three of them, but like he's the gay man, and it's like not. You don't really get a sort of a headline. What do you call it? What line am I thinking of? A line. You don't really get this like the line of what it means to be Steffordized from
Roger. The standard,
right?
Yeah,
the
gold standard.
I see what you're saying.
Like you don't get that from Roger.
It's not
established.
Like, right.
Case.
You think it would be more drastic if it was like a woman, like doing? Yes.
Well, at least it would be like, here's the blueprint we're generally
working. I
think
working. It should have been Bette Midler first.
Yeah.
Because
she's the most drastic, and you
would
have been like,
she would
whoa.
Be the most drastic transformation.
And then you would have seen Roger, and it would have been like, what? Like, okay.
And honestly, you could also argue because like Roger's a more interesting character, it's like a little more heartbreaking to like have him go at the end there.
I think it is more. It's a shame we lose him so early.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also, then we get more Roger anyways, which I'm all on board with. We need more Roger.
Oh, it does.
What am I wearing?
His first line coming out.
Coming out of Stepfordization at that party. He not really in anything that terrible.
Just
it's just
white,
a white tux.
Yeah, it's just,
I mean,
yeah.
I do not love it. And
no,
I
wouldn't wear
it,
but you
no.
know.
But
Roger cares a lot about what he wears.
Yes. This is
and
very in, this is very in line with Roger's character.
Fine.
In
yes.
2017, gay people are allowed to care about their fashion. You're allowed to be as stereotypical as
is
naturally
like
comes to you.
Is this like third wave gay? Like third wave feminism?
Yes.
I was actually getting waves of that a little bit because they did throw in some lines in this movie where Walter chides Joanna being like, don't get on his case for not being as much of a stereotype. He's allowed to tone it down.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, yes, true, but... it's like, it's kind of a typical gay transformation that maybe in the beginning you kind of go hard at rejecting a lot of stereotypical feminine things about yourself in an effort to be like, well, I'm not the stereotype, I'm an individual. But then the pendulum kind of swings back towards the middle when you realize I should just be whatever comes naturally to me and parts of that are going to line up with the stereotype and that's just the way it is.
Yeah, well, again, this movie never gets that far with feminism. Right? They don't get past second wave feminism.
No.
Because, like, all the women that are, like, strong are, like,
men.
Dressed like
yeah,
men.
Yeah, they're super
managed,
masculine, yes.
And they want lesbian set relationships.
Yeah.
To that extent, that's how insane it is. Like,
yeah.
But you're right. They never get past second wave feminism or second wave gay?
Gayism?
Like, the idea that, like, gay...
Why don't we make this a little broader? They never get past second wave queer.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's and again, which is 2004. That's still dated.
Yeah.
You're still out of the times.
Yeah.
Very.
I know. Do we solve the conundrum of did any women write this movie?
Well, I don't
know. No. There's only one
gay man.
A gay man was credited for he wrote In and Out, which is a little confusing.
Yeah.
I don't know much about this writer.
The other thing,
like,
I sort of wonder a little bit, and I don't have any information to back this up, but I wonder if this was something that has been bandied around for years, and so, like...
It just fell to someone?
Yeah, it just fell to him after the studio had been like, we've done, like, 8 passes on this, like, why don't you just take it and try and do something with it? And he was like, okay, here's my paycheck. And so maybe there was just literally, like, no thought behind it. So I wanted to move on to what I think the biggest issue might be in the Stepford Wives remake, which is...
The biggest, huh?
I would say they're all pretty.
I mean,
we've tackled feminism, queerness. Now we're going to get on to guys. Are they robots or not?
This is to me the
hard
biggest
hitting.
Issue
from a
in terms of a plot point.
From a
from
a narrative and world building perspective, this is a humongous problem.
Oh, it's terrible.
I don't know what is going on.
So here's the in the book. in the original movie, they're robots. Mm-hmm. It's not like brains put into a robot body. They're literally robots.
Did they just kill the woman?
Yeah, they just killed them. Okay. And they have robot wives. In this movie, I don't know what they are. We see an empty robot shell of a Joanna. So, like, maybe they're putting her brain inside a body.
But it doesn't have hair. And then the eyes open and there's no eyes.
Right. And they also mention the idea, because, like, she asks Mike, like, are any of these women their original? And he says, yeah, most of them. So, like, I guess it's their real bodies.
But in that final scene, all it takes to turn them back into mostly human, at least ones that have wills of their own, is just eliminating the chips that are in the brains inside the body.
Right.
But then the bodies are still evidently super strong because you see that woman crush a remote.
Right. See, I don't know that... So, like, I don't know that this is that hard to settle once and for all. I just think that the movie doesn't do it very well.
Not at all.
I think it is pretty clearly... They take the brains out of the humans, put them in sort of cyborg bodies. The chips are in the brains, but the bodies are now, like, enhanced cyberhumans.
Okay, so, like, the argument that you're putting forth is it's human brain, everything else is robot.
Yes, because there's no... That is the only explanation that makes sense, because boobs grow and shrink.
Right,
women that's... Can, like,
lift cars and crush metal.
But I would also say, I think...
Hands don't burn in the fire.
Yeah.
I think there was an intention... I think there was a point at which that it was all robot, nothing else.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think... Halfway through filming, maybe some.
No,
at
I
some
think
point
we,
in
no,
reshoots.
My understanding, yeah, it was a reshoots thing. My,
yeah, but if it was because they were, if they were all robots, then they couldn't revert.
See that, right? But that's what I'm saying. I think in reshoots, it became they're not full robot.
Yes, and I think like this notoriously had a very like problematic shooting period where like there were actors that weren't getting along, and they did reshoots later on after test audiences didn't like scenes. Like
you mean to tell me in this movie that was void of chemistry between anyone that the people weren't getting along?
I know this is hard for you to believe, but this was a really rough time for everyone involved.
Wow, it just seemed like a sparkling good jaunt. Like it just infuriates me. I'm sure just like the script supervisor or continuity person was just like tearing their hair out with the edit of this movie. Just like, what are they trying to say?
I mean, I have my 100% thought going into this is that in the shooting script of this movie as they were doing it, the wives were robots. It was not a question of like, we're throwing your brains into a robot body. It was, they are straight up robots. And then they realized the test audiences would not respond well to this at the end. Like, if you want to have a happy ending where like your wives like decide to like get revenge on the husbands, it's a little depressing to be like, but they're still like trapped in robot bodies.
I mean, what else are you gonna do? Except,
I know,
hey, except Joanna, she's fine.
Yeah, that's Joanna,
and Bobby.
Yeah,
and
no she's
Roger.
Still a robot.
Bobby's gotta be a robot.
Yeah,
when oh, that's see, right, Joanna's not a robot.
Yeah, when you see them at the end at Larry King, like they have to be in robot bodies. Like there's no other way around this.
Is that depressing or is that the dream?
I don't know, right? Like I think if there was a scene of like Bobby be like, hey, like lifts up a car overhead, she's like, look at
hey,
me.
Again, like, first gay robot president.
Yeah.
Is America ready?
Yes.
I think so.
I'm ready. These members of Citizens of America are very ready.
Gay Republican robot president, more realistic than an independent candidate winning the presidency.
Hot takes with Lee Delahanty.
Watch out for my political podcast.
It's also dumb, I think, to set up this plot and then put a neat little bow at the end, like, oh, and everything's great.
That's like, that's my point. Like, it could be a happy ending with them still in robot bodies, but the movie sort of like sidesteps and is like, but everything worked out okay.
They really don't talk about the fact. There's not a lot of like fallout of like, hey, by the way, we're all in robot bodies.
Also you guys both pointed something out that I didn't realize when I was watching it on my own is they all just look better.
Yeah.
And they're dressing better and they just look
commentary on why.
Commentary on why, but if you're meant to believe they all learned something, what the fuck did they learn? There's no arc or through thread that you're like, well, they started in this point, they ended up here for the better. No,
but they didn't learn anything because their words don't show that they've learned anything because they're like,
yeah,
no, men are pigs.
Yeah.
All men are pigs.
Well, Bobby says that. It seems like...
Roger's being political when he says, we're re-educating them.
Yes.
Right, when Joanna's like...
He knows what he has to do for this job.
We're trying to... Yeah, well, Joanna is not... Joanna's the lucky one that doesn't have a totally shit husband.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see, okay.
He's a pretty shitty husband.
So, okay.
When Brendan did that voice earlier, that is the entirety of Matthew Broderick's performance.
So,
it's just a ghoul
The thing
kind
that
of
we
sound.
Find out, Matthew Broderick, like we said, finds out very early on that they are turning their wives into robots. There is no question about this. He sees this. He gets back to their house. His son says, aren't robots cool? And Matthew Broderick goes, yep. Like, he's very excited about this possibility.
How does that track with the book? Does they know before moving?
In the book, you don't see anything from his point of view.
At all.
It's all all following her. So, like, you don't know if he learned about this place and then decided to move there, or uh-huh.
if she was indoctrinated when he moved
there. Right.
It's not revealed.
I would argue, just by going off of, like, the movie book logic, it would seem to make more sense that they somehow knew about this place before. And then decide to move there. Yeah. Like, there is actually, like, a lot... There's, like, a weird, like, at the beginning, like, one of the first scenes of the family, like, packing up to leave New York, and there's a guy, like, a random guy just, like, walking down the street holding, like, a naked female mannequin under his arm. They're, like, their son or daughter, like, points in and is like, "Daddy, look at that. Like, that man's carrying a naked woman." The husband says, "That's why we're moving to Stepford," which is, like, a fun double line in terms of, like, we're moving to Stepford to get this, like, awful things away from you. We're moving to Stepford because, like, a man could just tote around, like he gets his sexy wife.
Right.
Yeah. It just sort of implies that he's aware of this being a thing. But
Matthew Broderick sucks.
Yeah, no, he's terrible. Let's all agree.
I mean, I'm not going to defend.
We weren't really talking about that, but yeah. I like that you just ended waiting for Brendan to get a breath in. And then just Matthew Broderick.
Well, I just went.
Chris has been. He's been leaning closer and closer to the microphone. Just being like, when? He's a monster.
I was just trying to bring it full circle, just because that double line has more cleverness and probably had a better performance than anything Matthew Broderick, both as a character in this movie, but also as an actor playing that character, could give us.
As I said, he peaked at Ferris Bueller, which is a sad fact about Matthew Broderick.
I'm not going to defend Nicole Kidman's performance. I know I did it a little bit in this movie. I was trying to be very hopeful, but Matthew Broderick's performance is so terrible, and the character is so awfully written, to the point where I was... Brendan made a really good point that during the scene in which we believe that he and Joanne are going down together to have her Stepfordize, that's a deal-breaker entirely. Right. Like, her whole appeal to him in that moment appears to be being played for, a genuine thing, but Brendan made a really interesting point of, you would say that just to furnish your way out of there... And then you're completely out of that guy's life. I mean, he is a monster.
Unforgivable type of effect.
You would think, because she's all like, you know, like, "Can they say I love you?" And then she, like, kisses him before they go down, like, into the basement.
Mean it?
Yes. And so, like...
And you never really, in the beginning, at any point, got any sort of genuine affection anyway between them.
No! There's that one... There's a really weird conversation that they have where he's like, "There's so many high-powered women. Why do you love me, Nicole Kidman?" And he's like, "Because you're handsome and you're funny you're my Walter," right? Like, no. This is a great case of, like, tell, don't show, where she's, like, listing attributes that she finds appealing that we do never see.
He is, like, the grayest oatmeal I've ever seen in my life. He's so fucking boring that I found him impossible to sympathize with.
Well, I would also, the other problem, like I said, the argument is that he finds out so early on that their wives are being turned to robots, seems very okay with it.
Yeah.
And then Christopher Walken shows him an informational video, which reiterates everything that they said.
That he should have already known.
Yeah, and then he's immediately like, "Oh, this isn't a good thing anymore." Like, this is like, there is no way you can save a relationship if your husband for so long says that you should be turned into a robot. Then the last one is like, "I guess I went too far."
He also functions as a completely, everything about him and that performance, I just found terrible.
Okay, so now that we have covered the big problems in Stepford Wives, we'll go into fixes. Chris, do you want to start with them?
I would really, really, really love to.
Go for it.
When I was watching this movie, I had seen it once before, years and years and years ago, but I didn't remember that much about it aside from just not liking it.
Mm-hmm.
And I just found, when you have to look for things to improve in a movie, you just find more reasons to dislike it. But one of the things that really got me, as we were just talking about, I hated Matthew Broderick's performance, but it reminded me of a way that character was done a lot more successfully and in a similar dark comedy, broad, but with an interesting comment somewhere in there. This movie needed to be Death Becomes Her. It needed to have...
Fuck you! The tone that this movie needs to hit is Death Becomes Her. Fuck you.
As soon as I watched this movie, I was like, this needed to be Death Becomes
Her. You two gays.
I'm really happy this happened, actually.
I was walking home on Friday, and I was like, wow, you know what a great dark comedy is?
Yes! Okay.
Go ahead, do your thing. I'll go into mine.
Maybe you have something else to throw on top of it, but my reasons are these. We have a kind of similar setup, where it's a very vicious, but still funny and broad satire, very dark, of a group of very wealthy people, and we're able to laugh at their foibles, and the jokes go a little wide, but the actors are just so fucking good at selling it. But you also have a leading man actor who is kind of playing very nebbishy and very kind of underheel. Like, that was a great performance from Bruce Willis.
It's one of my favorite Bruce Willis
performances. He's so good.
Yeah.
Because he manages to be this completely spineless gelatin of a man, but is still interesting and funny to watch.
Yeah.
And he still holds his own in this, like, flimsy role against Meryl Streep and Goldie Hawn in these very powerful roles. Mm. And I thought that's what this movie needed to be on every level. It needed, first of all, a much more simplified story. But that movie showed that you can be so mean and pretty dark while also be very funny and broad and still get an interesting message across.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really, I don't know how much of the plot I would really change. I would just clean up the holes. I would try to clear up all of the confusion about robots. And the other thing I would change is Glenn Close cannot be the roboticist for me. She just can't. I don't think it was intentional, but it really put this, like, woman against woman thing there at the end that I didn't need. And I don't think there was a misogynistic intent behind it necessarily. But I don't like it for the woman-on-woman thing. It's unnecessary from a narrative point of view. And it is not set up in the slightest. And it's played like a twist. And it's such a modern idea of what a twist is, where it's only shocking because you had no information to lead you to this point. Where to me, a twist actually did have some kind of hint, but was still surprising to you. That, to me, is a well-done one. You know what? Just fuck this movie. Just watch Death of a Loser. Do you want to go, Brendan? Do you want to piggyback?
Lee, why don't you go real quick?
Is it going to be a Death Becomes Her sandwich?
So,
I'll end this.
I don't particularly care a whole lot about this movie enough that I want to, like, preserve a lot of it. So I don't really have a sort of a concrete fix, but my favorite thing that I enjoyed through the movie again was pretty much Roger and the chemistry that Roger had with the other two, like, non-stumpy-wisey wives. Yeah, Bobby and Joanna. I feel like the three of them made a nice, like, threesome. And I think at the end of watching the movie for the first time, I told Brendan, like, I just want these three to become, like, a polyamorous couple.
A throuple.
And they can have, like, a harem of men to have for sexual gratification, right? Mm-hmm. Like,
oh, but
I don't care.
All three of them are leaving their husbands immediately, right?
Yeah. But, like, so I really like the three of them. I want more of them in the movie. But I think the movie's main problem with the way that they are doing this sort of old-fashioned... I mean, it's a dated book. Dated in that time, and I think the way they adapted it is still dated, and I think that maybe they should have gone more into, like, instead of having a token gay couple, which is a very token-y gay couple for the 2004, I think they should have opened it up for, like, and maybe this is like too prescient for 2004 to have been, but I feel like it should have been less about, like, the 50s and men and women in the 50s, when men were men and women were women. I think it should be more about, like, what is masculine and feminine, and, like, it's sort of opening it up to, like, you know, have a trans character, maybe, like, gender. I think gender identity should have been delved into.
Just played with
a
more.
A whole lot more, in terms of, like, there, you could have had, you know, one of the characters could have been trans, you could have had a gay person, you could have had, like, because we still have, like, we have transphobia today, like, people are just upset, like, why can't, I'm confused by this, and therefore I'm angry, and I shouldn't want it. Like, that's this sort of stubborn, like, you know, old-fashioned, like, attitude that people have nowadays that causes all of this hatred, that people are like, I instead of taking the time to understand this, I'm just going to be angry about bathrooms and why people can't have to use certain ones.
You,
like,
could, even in a certain way, you could probably take it back to the horror movie if it was about trans people.
Yeah, I mean...
You know what I mean?
It could, like, be pretty horrifying.
Suburbia is making you revert back into the body that you...
Yeah, the thing is, I am kind of okay with it being a dark comedy. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's just because I don't want it to end with everyone becoming robots. But I think it could still be, like... I think it could be maybe both things. I think you could still have a better ending, but still have it be, like, get into some pretty horrifying shit. But yeah, I think that, like, the whole Stepford community should have been about not just, like, making it, like, the 50s should have just been more about, like, black and white things versus, like, there's no gray area in between things. Like, if you're a woman, you can't be into baseball. Like, it should more have been about that than it should have been about, like, making the world look like the 50s again. Because, again, guys... I'm sorry, Glenn Close. Your husband would have cheated on you in the 50s. Your problem is not solved.
Probably easier, to be honest.
Yeah. So for mine, my Death Becomes Her thing was literally just a question of, I was walking home trying to think of a dark comedy where things don't really, like, where it's sort of like a bleak ending, but it's still a really enjoyable movie. And, like, I was thinking of that because, like, the Bruce Willis character, like, you find out that he had, like, a long, happy life.
Right.
He died, and you find out that, like, Meryl Streep and Goldie Hawn are, like, these horrible, like, like
decaying people.
And they're like barely like alive, but like they can't die. And
they
so,
fall down like mannequin parts down those stairs.
Yeah, and it's like a horrible ending for them, but like they're fascinating, horrible people, so you're okay watching it. So like it was more an idea of like this is a tone that the movie should not be afraid to go to. So I would say, just as a general thing, I would definitely keep Glenn Close because like
She's so good.
She is, and I like the idea that this is a woman's scheme. I also sort of like the idea that like all these like pseudo MRAs are kind of like duped by a woman into like bringing about their own downfall. At the end, like they will be replaced with robots eventually because they were bought into this thing that this woman was trying to do. And again, it's problematic, and I don't want to like I'm not going to have this whole conversation because you need to argue the idea that like, you know, she is still turning women into like these idealized robots. That's more than I have time to go into in terms of figuring out, but it's something I would want to work with.
Mm-hmm.
It's also just sort of like, I can totally see a woman being the cause of all this. It's like, I was telling like, these are like, this is like the woman who voted for Donald Trump and like wants to have like, you know, a return to like this past that never existed.
And by the way, I'm not saying that an exploration of female misogyny couldn't have been interesting. It could have been interesting, but the fact that their attempt at balance was to say, oh, the men were going to be turned to robots too, I would be so much more comfortable with Glenn Close being the mastermind if the men were also being sephardized.
Right. It's a half-assed compromise at the end of the day. But so this is my little like brief summary of what I've got here. So I think Walter is going to be more of like a handsome dope from Flyover Country. Like maybe he was like a wannabe actor who ended up as Joanna's administrative assistant and they fell in love and got married but he's still kind of like subservient. It's almost like Kevin in the new Ghostbusters movie where he's like really, really handsome but like really kind of dumb. Joanna, I think maybe is like a high profile marriage counselor, like almost a Dr. Phil or something. Like she might have a TV show where she like, you know, has on like celebrity couples or famous people and tries to like resolve their issues because like she knows so much about marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And there can still be some sort of like breakdown because of some high profile celebrity couple that like ended up with like, you know, maybe there was like a suicide pact or something.
Right.
And she like, so this ends in her like having a breakdown. Walter wants to move to Stepford because he's disenchanted with his life. Like the city is so much different from his small town. Like his life isn't what he thought it would be. So maybe it would be a good idea to move to a small town that's ranked highly for happy citizens with strong moral values. Joanna tries to like adapt and become like a small town marriage counselor, but like no one there has any problems. Like she's going basically like door to door and the wife are just like, no, I'm so happy, like I love my husband.
That would be so interesting.
And so like and she meets Bobby that way because Bobby is new to town. She's the only one who has anything like frank to say about the state of her marriage. Like, you know, like, oh no, it's not all great, like it's problematic. Walter is so dense that he doesn't understand that the wives are being like roboticized. Like he legitimately thinks it's a crazy makeover or spa or something. So he just thinks that they're really just coming out of here and feel so much better because he's a fucking idiot. In this version, the wives are definitely brains and robot bodies. In the end, after like, you know, it's still gonna have the same similar thing where like Walter realizes what's happening like at the last minute. Like that's when he finally realizes like, oh shit, like this isn't some dumb thing, like they're literally being turned to robots. So like he has it the same moment that Matthew Broderick appears to grow a conscience. But then when he frees them all, the wives decide that they're all much happier with their super robot bodies being super robot people. They have their husbands all put their brains in robot dog bodies, and so all the robo dogs are their husbands.
I'm okay. I'm on for this ride.
Roger and Bobby decide to rule over the town as the leaders of the town. This town full of robo women and their like husband dogs, and Walter and Joanna like leave to like speak out aggressively on like gender equality and marriage roles and like how to form a strong relationship with like this horrible robot town behind them.
I love it.
Yeah, and so that's my dark ending to comedy.
You almost kind of go to like a crazy pulp area, which I'm really enjoying.
Thank you. Would you recommend this movie?
No. No.
I was actually thinking, like, do I say no too much on the show when we ask, like...
No, I think you say yes a lot sometimes.
To recommend a movie?
Yeah, you recommended Dracula, which I certainly didn't.
Okay, that was special. But
I know, but, like, I feel like you've recommended movies before.
I would not recommend this movie. I don't know that I would have watched it again if I didn't have to. I thought it was an interesting experience.
What's that?
I feel like I'm the naysayer alone.
I think you are.
I am the naysayer.
Yeah.
I recommended Baraka because, of course, I did. But, like, no, I don't think you should see this movie. I'm often the person to say, like, watch 10 minutes of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I don't think there's 10 minutes of watchable material in there.
No. I almost want to say yes because it is only, to be fair, it's 90 minutes long, which is so much shorter than a lot of the crap we've sat through. Like,
that's nice.
True.
Yeah, which is good. I commend this movie for being short, and there are moments of it that work. So, like, if you want to see, like, how something can half-ass it and, like, just, like... half commit to something and not do it very well, this is a great example of like,
do you know what? So close to the Nutcracker, which
yeah.
you just did.
Yeah.
This is just like the Nutcracker. It's like a such an ill-conceived remake.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, it is. It's, you had good material, and you miraculously...
Just squandered it, yeah.
I will
miraculously
say...
you just had nothing.
I will say something that maybe puts it, like, a half tick above the Nutcracker is... we're on the same page with Nutcracker, where just you just watch the fucking Nutcracker.
Right.
In our... We each had three very different takes where you could take this movie, so there was at least this spark of some kind of potential in this movie.
I would,
but
Roger,
I still wouldn't recommend
Roger was
it.
Was the spark.
Yeah.
he lit the flame, guys.
Yeah. I would give it a half-assed recommendation and say watch the deleted scenes on YouTube where Bobby turns into, like, a crazy cartoon character.
Like, with a vacuum and a squeegee
and where,
a beer cooler in her boobs.
Yeah. And I would also just recommend watching the original movie or reading the book over this, though.
I really want to read the book now, but I can highly recommend the original movie.
Yeah.
It's a great experience.
Yeah, it's definitely something I want to watch again.
Website?
www.dratpack.com.
Fache book.
Yeah.
Facebook.com/whywatchpodcast. On Twitter at whywatchpodcast. we're going to have some more articles up now that we're back from Christmas and everything like that. Yep, we're all working on some stuff, so we're excited to get back into the swing of things now that, like, life has returned to normal just a little bit.
Yeah.
And we will see you guys in 2 weeks with our mini episode, and then 2 weeks from that with our February rom-com episode.
So excited.
Yeah, look forward to rom-coms,
I'm
guys.
I'm so excited. I'm so scared.
should we buy it out?
Bye!
Okay. Okay.